It is wonderful to be here. Thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate Brother Walter for trusting me today in his pulpit. That's not an easy thing for pastors to do. So bless his heart as he continues to minister in Ukraine. I do serve with the Oklahoma Baptist Homes for Children, which also oversees the Hope Pregnancy Centers. And I know that you all have a strong relationship with one of the Hope Pregnancy Centers here in the area. But let me say on behalf of OBHC today, thank you so much for your generosity. Thank you so much for giving and helping and serving and making a place for boys and girls this morning who got up and went to a Southern Baptist church because you gave them a home to live in. And men and women who will cross the doorways of Hope Pregnancy Center this week full of anxiety and fear, but who will be welcomed with unconditional love. Because you give. And so I want to thank you for that. I want to share with you this morning, I have one job today, and that is to convince you that God madly loves you. And as I think about the boys and girls and the men and women who come through the doors of the residential campuses of OBHC and those that come through the doors of the Hope Pregnancy Centers across the state, one of the things we find in common with those individuals that we're getting to wash the feet of is that deep in their heart, they feel unloved. They have not had an experience where someone has held their face in their hands and said, I love you and God loves you. And we have an opportunity together to do that. But today, I want to swing a sledgehammer toward any tower that is in front of your heart today where you would doubt in your own heart, in your heart of hearts, that God loves you. And so this morning I want to ask you, when is the last time that God ambushed you with his unconditional love, knocked you off of your feet, left you without words of knowing in a sure and certain way that he loves you because he wants to? The book of Ephesians says that God created, he made and meant each one of us. And as he made us, he enjoyed and brought him pleasure. When is the last time you enjoyed the love of God? Sometimes we look at Mary and Martha in Scripture and we find that we are so much like Martha. And even in Southern Baptist life, we can get so serious about getting stuff done. We need to get stuff done. We need to work, 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 work. But sometimes as we work, we get cranky, cranky, cranky. Why doesn't anybody else help? Martha said, why does my lazy sister sit in there with the God of gods, the King of kings, while I'm in here slaving away over this field? Her heart got so disconnected that she actually wrote out a script and came out to Jesus and said, tell my sister this. She actually said to God, you're not smart enough to know what to say. So let me whisper in your ear and you tell my sister off for me. And Jesus said, no. She's doing what is important. She is just sitting at my feet and basking in my love. And pretty soon I'll be nailed to a cross to really show you how much I love you. But Martha, the days are limited that you'll get to sit with me. I'll take a bologna sandwich if you'll come and sit down. And let me love you. And so I want to ask you today, how deep does God's love run through your heart? Because we get a lot of things wrong if we don't let God love us. Things get really jaded and twisted in our heart if we start working for God and looking for the paycheck rather than working with God and enjoying his love. When we know that we are loved beyond measure, beyond reason, we can trust him with the rest of our life. And we become a reservoir for all the love that he pours into our heart. When people are around us, have you ever been with somebody had so much of God living and loving in them that you didn't want to let them go? You know, you're with them for an hour and you just take everything you can for, you don't want to get out of their sight because you know it'll leak out. But they're so full of God's love that you love being with them. When was the last time you felt God's love unconditionally for you? one of the best gifts that God gives us is unconditional love. In the New Testament book of 1 John, John, who was called the beloved disciple, and it sounds arrogant when he calls himself that. He says, you know, I was the beloved disciple. I don't think what he's saying is that Jesus loved me more. I think John is saying, I knew how to get more of his love in me. I received it more. I could be loved, so I'm the beloved. So John says, John who got to see Jesus face to face, spend time with him, walk with him, the John that stood at the cross and watched Jesus die in slow motion. This John says in his book in 1 John 4:8, the verse that we just want to stand in the Grand Canyon of our hearts today and cry it out. This verse, he says, whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. And love is God. When you look up the word love in Webster's dictionary, it should say God. Or when you Google it. You may not look up in the dictionary anymore. But when you look up that word, the definition should be God. God is not just loving. He's not just lovable. He is love. He's the origin of love. He's the essence of love. Love is his DNA. Without God, there is no love. So God is love. When I wake up in the morning, I'm a Davis. I don't wake up and think, oh, I hope I can be a Davis today. I hope I can pull it off one more time. I just am. God just is love. He is unconditional love. And so that's who he is. It's a characteristic of his very nature. So God doesn't act loving sometimes and then stop being loving. I grew up in the 1970s. Anybody else grew up in the 1970s? Oh, what a fantastic time to be a kid. 3 channels on TV, went off at midnight. It was wonderful. And in the 1970s, we were so bored, we had this incredible toy that every boy wanted. It was called Stretch Armstrong. Remember Stretch Armstrong? Anybody have one? All right, there's my people. So Stretch Armstrong, he was this muscle action toy. And my friend Greg Selby would come stay the night with me. I had bunk beds in my house. He didn't. So when he came, I was a hospitable host. I let him sleep up top. And so he would be sleeping up top, the lights would go out, and Greg would dangle down Stretch Armstrong. He would hold him by his arms, and then I would reach out with all 32 pounds of me and get his feet, and I would try to stretch him to the floor. And then we'd hear my mom coming, so I'd let his feet go, and he'd wiggle back up, and Greg would tuck him under the covers, and my mom would have no clue while we were laughing. But Stretch Armstrong was this amazing action figure. One day we got so curious about what was inside of Stretch Armstrong that we took a Swiss Army knife and we cut into him. Anybody else do this? All right, good. Not just Bixby people. All right, so we cut into him and what the inside looked like was grape jelly. So Greg and I ate a lot of grape jelly. It's like if that is what gets you to the level of Stretch Armstrong, we need some of that. But today if you took a Swiss Army knife and cut into God, it would not be grape jelly. It would be love. You would hit right into a powerful, strong, awesome love. And so I want to encourage your heart today as we look together at God's word to move as much of God's love through your heart today as you can. Whatever you have on your agenda today, cancel it. It's the Sabbath. God gives you a day off every week. He's so awesome. It wasn't Chick-fil-A's idea. It was God's idea. It did make Chick-fil-A the number one leading fast food chain. Are they not awesome? Closed 54 days of the year and not open 24 hours, and they still take out others who are. That's awesome. So God has given you a Sabbath day today to do what? To rest in his love. To just look at the diamond of all how awesome his love is and just turn it from every corner. And to be able to sit and know today that you are fully loved. God is love. And just like on Christmas morning when we receive a gift, you have to receive it. You have to open it. It does no good to leave it in the box. You have to open it and receive it and let it move through who you are. Several years ago, I did a study on the love of God in Scripture. And the more of the Scripture I read, the more I realized God really, really loves me. As hard as it is for me to believe and to accept in my heart, God really loves me. And you may wonder, well, what is God's love like? And it's a great question to ask because his love is different than the love people can give you. His love is perfect. It is different and unique. And so when you look at God's love, the Bible describes it as agape, meaning it's unconditional. Meaning that God loves you as much right now as he did when Jesus was dying on the cross for you. He doesn't get up on some days in a better mood. and love you more. God loves you perfectly all the time. And that is an awesome gift for us. His love doesn't change based on any behavior or anything that you do. Whatever you think is your best day, God had the same love for you. Whatever you think is your worst day, God had the same love for you. His love has never had a power outage. He's never second-guessed his love. He's never thought, oh, I don't know about you. I'm not sure. His love is perfect. It has been always faithful to you. And when you open up your heart to God's love, you find out that there are a lot of different aspects of it. There's different multiple kinds of ways that he expresses it to you. So on your outline today, I want to help you begin to unpack that. When we begin to discover God's love, we find that first, it's a perfect love. God's love is perfect. It has no flaw, no blemish, no imperfection. There's nothing that's lacking in his furious love for you. God loves you with a perfect love. Again, we go back to 1 John and 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 through 19. This wonderful verse that John says. He says, such love, he's talking about God's love, has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it is for fear of judgment, and this shows that his love has not been perfected in us. When you and I are all anxious and twisted up inside with stress, it means that somewhere we have gotten off the path of God's love. So what do I do? Well, I just better work a lot harder, like Martha in the kitchen, and make sure God sees what I'm doing for him. Well, I better fast and pray and try really hard. Well, no. No, it means that I've gotten God's love wrong. There's a dam that's been built, and God's love is not coming through. He says, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. I don't know if you've ever been expelled from school, but it means you don't get to come back. It means you're kicked out. So when God's perfect love comes in, it kicks out fear. So when I'm afraid, when I am terrified, the best thing I can do is stand under the Niagara Falls of God's love and say, God, I just need more of your love. If I get enough of your perfect love in me, it will kick out fear on its own. So God has a perfect love for us that we can't add to or subtract from. I don't know if you've ever felt the disappointment of losing love. Anybody had the disappointment of losing love? I remember in the sixth grade, you know, back in the 80s, And I noticed a lot of our kids left, so they wouldn't get this. But those of you that lived through the paper age, you know, where you actually had to write down a note. So the struggle was real in the 80s. We had to write a note that our teacher did not see at our desk. And we would write, you know, will you go with me? And then we'd fold it up in creative ways, sometimes like a triangle, a football, whatever. And then we had to talk three or four people into passing it to the person you were writing to. It was like the Pony Express. It was slow. And it would make its way up, and you'd pray the teacher didn't get it and read it out loud. But yeah, I sent this note up the aisle in sixth grade. It said, will you go with me, yes or no? I hadn't taken apologetics, or I would have put maybe. Because maybe she could have taken a step toward me, you know, if I would have moved the needle by giving her more options. But I just put yes or no. The note came back. It was definitely no. Like, I don't know if she had like a big chief pencil or... But it was circled no. I had no idea where we were going. I just didn't want to go by myself, so I asked if she would go with me. And so I got the note back. It was like, no, no. And so when we have that in our heart, what do? Ooh, I better pull back on loving. Love hurts sometimes. Maybe you've stood in a courtroom and navigated the terrain of a divorce. And lost the love of someone that you promised to love forever, and they promised you. Maybe you stood next to a casket and realized you're not just losing a special person. You're losing the love that they showered on you. And so we reach out with all that we have because God gave us a place in our heart that craves love. We need love. It's not a want, it's a need. And God has a perfect love for us, and so we want all of that love in our heart. But sometimes we realize that all of the songs that we write that are love songs and all the things we do around Valentine's Day to somehow get love, it never really works out the way the commercial does because we're not perfect. I love my bride and I love my kids through a broken, imperfect heart. And sometimes it doesn't come out the way I wish it did. So I have to go back to God, who's perfect in his love, and let him refill my imperfect heart so I have a chance of loving them. But we reach and we crave for that kind of perfect love. I love what Clarence the Angel said to George Bailey in my favorite movie of all time, It's a Wonderful Life. He says in the movie, he says, "Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many others. When he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he?" That movie sticks out to me because in 1983, the same year I was passing notes up and begging some girl to love me, my dad left our family. And I don't mean he just decided to leave and have visitation. I mean spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, he left. And so when I began to figure out, you know, what's going on, my dad's gone. To this day, I still have no memory of my dad ever saying, "I love you." But some reason, when he lived in the house, I believed he did. There was something about his presence that told me I was worth being with. And when he left, there was something about his absence that said, "You're not worth being loved." In our hearts, we need the perfect love of God. And when a man leaves, Clarence was right, it leaves an awful hole. It leaves a hole so big that nothing and no one can fill it except God. The good news is, he does. He does. He will come and pour out his perfect love in any person who asks for it. Any person who will receive it. But secondly, he not only has a perfect love, he has an unfailing love. We go back to John again, this expert on love. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, he says, "So the Word, meaning Jesus, became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness." When you talk to God, do you see him as full of unfailing love and faithfulness? Does your God enjoy you? Does he want to be with you? The God of the Bible does. John said he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. Let me explain a little bit. John said that the Word became flesh. He's talking about Jesus, how Jesus was God in the flesh. And so he says that when God chose to come to earth and put on skin and bones, that he also filled himself up with unfailing love and faithfulness. A few verses later, John continues with this description of Jesus, and he says, "We have all benefited from the rich blessings he brought us, one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ." He has an unfailing love for you. What do you think God's love was doing in the darkest, most evil moment of your life? Now, I don't want you to dwell on this too much today, because if you believe in spiritual warfare, Satan will come and take you right back to that moment. All the shame, all the darkness. But for a moment, consider, what is the one day in your life, if you had an eraser, that you still pray no one ever finds out about? You know what God was doing on that day? Furiously loving you. He didn't flinch. He didn't back off. He didn't look away. He didn't abandon you. No, he was pouring out his love on what you think was the worst moment of your life, because he has an unfailing love for you that can spill over from your heart and actually begin to touch the lives of other people. God's love never fails. We sang that wonderful song, and I pray that you believe what we were singing. God has an unfailing love, not just for the world. He has an unfailing love for you. For you. So next, I want you to look on your outline there. He not only has a perfect love and an unfailing love, but he has a personal love. He has a personal love. John 3:16, the most famous Bible verse of all time, again, written by the beloved disciple, the disciple that seemed to be able to grasp more of God's love. And he writes this verse, "God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die." What a beautiful verse. When I was a kid, I grew up at First Baptist Bixby, and we saw this verse and memorized it, quoted it all the time. But for some reason, we quoted the verse in this way: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." And it made it feel impersonal. Like, I thought of the globe in my third grade classroom when I said, "For God so loved the world," I thought maybe he loved the planet. You know, that like if he looked at the North American continent, he may not see me. But God's love is deeper than that. I love this translation. God loved the people of this world. God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son so that everyone, again, circle the word everyone. I grew up in Bixby. There was another kid, and guess what his name was? Gary Davis. And so I thought when I was reading my Bible, I thought if God would just say in the Bible, if I could open the Bible and find "for God so loved Gary Davis," I could believe it. I could believe it. But then I thought, no, if I saw that, I would actually think it was the other Gary Davis because I know me. He had to be better. He had to be more deserving of God's love. So I love the word everyone because you can't get out of the circle. God loves everyone. You happen to be an everyone. So God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son so that everyone would be able to come into a relationship with him and he would be able to unleash his awesome love in their heart. It's a personal love. God sees you. He knows you. He gets you. And he still enjoys pouring out his love on you. What a God we have. I mean, I didn't plan amens in this sermon, but if I had, it'd be right there. Like, God loves loving you. Are you over that? Have you gotten over that? I mean, is it so distant that it's like, I don't know if that's true? It's true, my friend. It's so true. God loves you just the way you are. He doesn't want to leave you that way, but he'll start where you are. He will come to where you are. We can't get to him. He has to come to us. And he comes to us with this personal love that he wants to pour out in our heart. I'm very blessed with a lot of male friends. Friends are a blessing. You don't have a friend, you're missing out. And so I have some great male friends. One of my friends' name is Richard Hyde. He's a traveling evangelist. He draws on bed sheets. I have no idea what his W-2 says, but he like sets up a king-size bed sheet, draws with both hands. He's a freak of nature. And one day we had lunch together, and we were leaving. We were on two different ends of the block in Tulsa. And I'm walking to my car, and all of a sudden I hear Richard's voice, and he says, "I love you, man!" A lot of people between me and Richard at this point. And a shockwave went through my heart. I'm kind of wondering what other people are thinking on the street of two men yelling out their love at the end of each block. Used to be a very rare occurrence. And so I turn back to him and I look at him and I'm like, "I love you too." I think, like Zorks. You know, and I can barely just say it back. And I walk to my car. I'm disoriented. It's like somebody hit me in the head with a sledgehammer. It's ringing. And I get in my car and I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? I know Richard loves me and I love him. Why can I not hear the words, "I love you," and find a shelf for them in my heart to put them on? And I knew sitting in my heart, there's something wrong in me. There's nothing wrong with Richard. He's being genuine. He means what he says. There's nothing wrong with the words, "I love you." They ought to be said. Listen, if you're here today and you got married a little while ago, and your philosophy is, "I told her when I married her, and I don't," let me just love on you today and say, you're wrong. You're wrong. Learn how to say, "I love you." I don't care what kind of therapy you have, what kind of football package you have to get in your house to be able to pay for that, but if maybe NFL football, great package, you watch every game, but I tell you, "I love you" every day. That's the exchange. Those words will never be unnecessary. And so Richard crying out across the street, "I love you," it was a personal love. How do you feel when I say to you today, God personally loves you? Will you let him? Can you sit still while God surges out his love for you? Most of the time we say, "Gary, you don't know me. You don't know what I've done." And you're right. You don't know what I've done. I don't need to. Because I know what Jesus did for all of us. And we all desperately need it as much as anyone else. I need Jesus as much as death row inmate does today. I need Jesus as much as a person that will never repent today. I need his love. It's a personal love. He also gives you a proven love. Hope you'll find it there on your outline. God demonstrated his love for us that while we're yet sinners. Did I skip a point? Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm from Bixby. Let me go back. I don't want to skip any points about God's love. Is it extravagant love? Wow. I know my points, some of them. There we go. It's at the bottom of the page. God gives us an extravagant love. Let's read this verse out loud today. You ready? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. I love this. John says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. It's like standing under the Niagara Falls. Bring your cup and try to catch as much as you can. It'll knock you down. But you stand under the Niagara. He is lavishing. There's no end to it. The faucet's not going to go off. He's going to endlessly pour out his extravagant love. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And then John is so smart. He knows the minute he says that, some of us recoil. You know, he's like, no, I can't hear that. I can't, let's go on. Can we talk about something else? Can we talk about God's wrath? Can we talk about anything except God's love? And we just pull back, and there's reasons why we do. There's reasons why we do. John catches us before we can pull our heart back, and he says, and that is what we are! He yells it. Look at the exclamation mark there. It's in the Greek, too. He says, and that is what we are! Before you can pull your heart back, and no, I don't deserve that much love. He says, no, you are a child of God, and God loves his kids. God loves his kids. He doesn't let us steal away without hearing that it's an extravagant love. Listen, God wastes love on you. See, what do you mean by that? You slept all last night, and God didn't. And what was he doing? He was leaning over, loving you. You couldn't love him back while you were knocked out. So he wastes love. There's love that God spends on you that you can't. Before eternity, in eternity past, God was already loving you. Before you knew about him, he was already loving you. Before you could choose whether to love him back, God was already loving you. Not with the generic love, the bona fide, the real deal, the perfect agape love. He was already loving you in advance. Before you had a chance to say no thanks, God was loving you. Before you had a chance to circle no, he was loving you. He still is. And it's so rare that we receive his love in a deep way. And so I want to encourage you today to feel God's love. And I told you all ago, there's reasons why we pull our heart back. Years ago, we went to Falls Creek and we did family groups. One of the spiritual dads for the week, he came up with an idea for the seven boys in his family. He said, I'm going to tuck these boys in every night. You know, nothing like a senior in high school getting tucked in. And he said, I'm going to pray over them. And I kind of wanted to sleep near his bed just to see how that worked. You'd be amazed how it worked. We had a lot of boys in our youth group who didn't have dads who were present. And so he tucked them in, and one of the boys that he tucked in one night, he got ready to pray. He looked at this man and he said, I want you to know, I've never been tucked in. I've never been prayed over before I went to sleep. Everybody started tucking guys in. When you haven't been shown love, I'm going to say specifically by your dad, it's hard to hear God loves you. It's hard to have a place to put that in you. Angel and I are blessed with two boys, Graham and Micah. They're 15 and 12 now. And ever since they can remember, I've walked into their room at 9, and I will till they're 39 if they'll let me. Just break into their house, love on their wives. I walk in before they go to bed, and here's what I say. I give them five blessings. You know, on purpose, I say to them, I love you. I'm proud of you. Not always proud of what you do, but I am proud of you. I'm thankful for you. Years ago, a well-meaning doctor told me I'd never be a dad. I love hearing the word dad. So I say to them, I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for you. I would choose you every time. If I had the choice of Abraham Lincoln or Billy Graham or Jalen Hurts, I'd choose you. And you know what? I enjoy you. See, where did you get those words? I just plagiarized Scripture. Jesus got baptized. God leaned out of heaven and said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I'm proud of you. You bring me great joy. Find your kids today and tell them I enjoy you. You're worth the headache you are. I'd do it again. I'd do all of it again. All the hospital stays, I'd do it again. Because I enjoy you. And here's the pressure I want to put on my boys. When you think of the extravagant love of God, here's the pressure. When I want to put pressure on them, here's what I say. You know how you can make me the most proud? To find a way to receive all my love. Find a way to receive all the love I have for you, and I will be so proud of you. You know why? Because I don't want to pressure them about grades. Grades come and go. I don't want to pressure them on some field to catch a ball. I don't want to pressure them to succeed and live up to some dream I didn't get. I want them to be so full of my love that it spills out to their bride, to my grandkids. And that they know in their heart of hearts, if I go too soon, if I go, I leave this earth sooner than I wanted to, my dad loved me. I knew it. I want it to be in the bottom of their heart, nailed down, branded, that they would never guess, I wonder if he really loved me. My dad passed away in 1992. And try as he may, I'm not sure. I'm not sure he loved me. But my boys are. God loves you. And if he gives us this desire in our heart to love our kids in broken, shattered ways, think of his perfect love for you. Man, you came on purpose today. God set you up. Because he wanted to run through your heart and cry out, I love you. I love you as much as I ever have, perfectly. With an unfailing love, with a proven or an extravagant love. I love you that much. One night I went in to tuck Graham into bed. He said, Dad, I always used to say to him, I got this from Stretch Armstrong. I'd say, Graham, I love you this much and more. One night from his bed, he said, Dad, I love you as much as heaven and earth sticking together. God loves you as much as eternity, past, present, and future sticking together. You'll never be able to receive all that he has for you. But try to get as much of his love in the bottom of your heart so that when you wake up in the morning, you know in your heart of hearts, I am loved. I'm treasured by my God. I am cherished by my God. I may work hard for him today, or I may sit in the lazy boy all day. Either way, I get God's love. I can't earn it. I can't buy it. Last point today, that he has a proven love. He has a proven love. God has demonstrated his love in a definite display. Romans 5:8 is a beautiful and yet painful verse at the same time. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still passionate about doing the wrong thing, while we were still worshiping sin, Jesus came with perfect love. He wasn't forced. It wasn't an angry mob getting out of control. He didn't have to. He chose to, because he loved us. He loved us too much not to. Jesus has proven his love for us. Jesus' day, the cross was a symbol of punishment and death. You would never wear a cross in Jesus' day. It was a symbol of shame on your family that someone in your family had to be put to death on the cross. You wouldn't ever wear it as a symbol around as jewelry. It was shameful in their day. Jesus died on the cross. Chose to demonstrate how much he loved. He made a 4th of July lit up the sky way of saying, I love you this much, I'll die for you. I don't think we really understand that until we hold our children, right? We're not sure who we would die for until you hold somebody that's defenseless. And then it's no question. No question. Wouldn't have to calculate, do algebra or anything. Somebody came in my house, it was their life or mine, I'd be gone. No question about that. Jesus walked past every person, took all of our sins, he became our sin, and died for us. The Bible says why? Because he demonstrated his love. To pay for our sins, yes, but to also show us how loved we are, how valued we are by God. I want to encourage you today to think about how much God loves you. And just stop there for a moment. I'm a trained pastor, been in hospice care for over a decade. Like, those jobs force you to tell other people they're loved by God. I know how to do that. It's difficult for me to let God love me. It's easier to tell you than it is for me to get alone with God and to say once again, God, love me. Just fill me up with your love again. But what a refreshing time it is when I dare to do that. How much I find God faithful when I say, God, I know I'm just a needy kid. It's like I'm a broke kid. I just keep calling God. God always shows up with love. No one's ever told you in your life that you're loved. God has. He loves you. He enjoys loving you. And he's never going to run out. No matter how hard you try to get him to stop loving you, he keeps showing up with the same perfect love. You have to receive it. The big idea today there on your outline is this: receive the gift of God's unfailing love. How do you begin to receive it? You have to begin a faith relationship with Jesus. Jesus demonstrated the love of God on the cross. So he is the truth, the way, and the life. How do I get to heaven? I come through Christ. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. And so I come through him. By starting a relationship with Jesus or refreshing my relationship with Jesus. Some of you here this morning would say, Gary, I used to be so close. God had such a smile on my face. I used to weep when I thought of him, tears of joy. It's been a long time. I've walked a million miles away. I don't know how to get back. You just turn around, because our God is so good, he walked every step with you. He didn't lose you, you lost him. And so all you do is turn around and say, Jesus, I want to start again. I want what we had. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I want to start over. You're here this morning and you would say, but Gary, I've never begun a relationship. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never started a relationship with God. Let me share with you three things that you need to believe in your heart and two things you need to do. Three things you need to believe in your heart. We talked about it at length. You're tired of hearing it. God loves you. He really, really loves you. Just the way you are. He's not waiting for you to get it right or be something you're not. He knows you and he loves you. God forgives you. He had grace ready before you even sinned. He had already paid it in full. The account was already full for you when you made your first mistake. And so God loves you, God forgives you, and God wants you. He wants you. He enjoys loving you. He enjoys forgiving what? Yes, he does. Read the whole scripture. Read the whole scripture. God is not ticked off about forgiving us. He knew he would have to. He knew grace would be a part of it. He made it up. And so he loves forgiving you. Do we waste that grace? No, we can talk about that a different time. But we need to believe in our heart God wants to forgive us, or we'll put off asking. And that messes up our relationship, right? So God loves you, God forgives you, God wants you. He'd choose you all over again, even if it meant the cross. So this morning, if you believe those things in your heart, you need to receive it. You need to receive the forgiveness for your sins, and you need to receive him as your Savior. By faith. How much faith? All you got. Bring everything you got. Mustard seed, football size, twin tower size, whatever. You just bring the faith you have and Jesus will meet you. Do you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning?